If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 11. Revelation, chapter 11. We are discussing the book of the Revelation, as you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and interpreting it from a chronological standpoint. So we would remind you, as we begin the study of a new chapter today, that chronologically we are in the middle of the tribulation period. We will begin the last half of the tribulation period as we look at this particular portion of the Word of God. You will keep in mind that the tribulation period is a 7-year period of time that is yet to come upon the earth. It has not occurred, and it is not occurring at the present moment. It will occur in God's appointed time. The tribulation period will be introduced by what we commonly refer to as the rapture of the church, when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is taken out of the earth. As we have pointed out to you, the tribulation will last for 7 years. The first half of the period will be represented by judgment, as we learned from the opening of the seven sealed book and the sounding of 6 of the 7 trumpets. But the last half of the tribulation period is to be characterized by an intensified kind of judgment, so that the first half will seem minor in relation to the second half. Now, what are we going to see when we come to the last half of the tribulation period? Well, what we are going to look at right now, we might call a preview of what is to occur in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. These things will be brought out more clearly, I think, as we discuss the chapter. But for the present, let us read together Revelation chapter 1, or chapter 11, rather, verse 1. John said, "There was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees, and the 2 candlesticks, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." There, these 2 witnesses have power to shut heaven, that it rain not on the earth in the days of their prophecy. They have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people, and kindreds, and tongues, and nations, shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The 2nd woe is past, and behold, the 3rd woe cometh quickly. Now, the first thing that attracts our attention after reading this portion of Scripture is the phrase, the temple of God. According to verse 1, the angel which had given to John the little book about which we read in the last chapter gave him a rod and told him to stand and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. I repeat, the temple of God intrigues us, as we see it in this verse of Scripture, and we ask ourselves exactly where this temple came from, and exactly what this temple is. Is it a literal temple, or is it representative of something else? What temple is presented to us in Revelation chapter 11? If we notice this truth for the first time, it becomes a very thrilling thought. If we notice this truth for the first time, it becomes intriguing indeed, because this verse of Scripture suggests that a temple is going to be built. Now notice what I am saying. A temple is going to be built in the city of Jerusalem. Solomon's temple was destroyed long ago. Herod's temple, so-called, was destroyed in 70 AD. The city of Jerusalem, at the present time, does not have a temple. But here we are told in Revelation 11 that the angel of God is measuring a temple that will be existing during the tribulation period. Someone says, come now. This is a bit preposterous to think that there is going to be a temple on the basis of this one verse of Scripture. Well, now wait just a moment. We don't have to base it on this one verse of Scripture. Let me suggest several passages of Scripture that prove to you, or at least should, beyond all doubt, that there will be a temple built in the city of Jerusalem. Turn with me for a brief glance at Isaiah chapter 66. We do not have time for a verse-by-verse exposition, so we will notice one or two verses, recognizing that if taken in its context, this chapter is a prophecy of the tribulation period followed by the millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Now, these verses which we've just read to you from the book of Isaiah indicate that the Jews, returning to their own land in unbelief, will build a temple and will institute sacrifices again, but those sacrifices will not be acceptable to God because the people are there in unbelief. In verse 6 we read that God will speak from that very temple and will tell them what is necessary to bring about the national conversion of the Jewish race. Will you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 24? You will realize that this passage of Scripture is a description in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the tribulation period and the time about which we are thinking. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, chapter 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, that is, endure until the end of the tribulation, the same shall be saved, that is, the same shall be delivered out of the tribulation. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, that is, then shall the end of the tribulation come. Notice very carefully now. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. We're going to stop our reading right there, because we are primarily interested in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, or that is, stand in the temple, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. The Antichrist is going to desecrate this temple which is going to be built in the city of Jerusalem. And when the Antichrist desecrates the temple in the manner suggested, the hatred and venom of the devil against Israel and against the people of God will have full sway, and things will be turned loose for judgment in a way that they never have been. There can be no doubt that there will be a temple built, and the Antichrist will use it as a center of operation. But we're going to have to stop right there, thinking more about this the next time we meet together.